This is a WUKY News in-depth report.
Of the thousands of students who will graduate from the University of Kentucky this weekend, some will say they achieved their goals by taking the road less traveled. And others, like the guest you're about to meet, can talk about an educational journey most of us can't even begin to fathom. PhD and political science candidate Fraternelle Amuri-Misako is a visiting scholar from the war-torn Democratic Republic of the Congo. He came to UK as part of a special program for at-risk political refugees. Welcome, Fraternelle.
Thank you very much.
Give us a sense of what is going on in your home country right now.
From my country, you know, I arrived to the U.S. in 2010 with my family. I am here with my wife and our four kids. This was the good moment for me and for my family to believe in future, because now I will get my PhD from the University of Kentucky in Lexington. This was not planned from Congo. We left just for how we could get more security. We left and we arrived in the U.S., notably in Kentucky. We had more trouble in Congo, but today we are trying to forget everything, because now the sky that was as very cloudy seems as clear for us. We are happy, and we have to thank deeply all those authorities of the University of Kentucky, the chairs of departments. There I am teaching in political science, international studies, and in next future I will be teaching in anthropology. So with this experience, I think I will be confident in future. And I am learning every day from students and many scholars here. You know, this was a good luck for me to meet people who, the faculty who could speak French, who accepted to get involved in my committee to make a positive assessment of my dissertation. This was done. And I got more support of mentorship in Department of Anthropology. I was working with, and I am still working with Dr. Juliana MacDonald. There we could meet the head of department, Christopher Poole. We call him Chris, a good man. And this, you know, how I could defend my dissertation from here. This was just as a dream. I couldn't believe in it. But this has been possible because at UK we have strategic policy how to serve international scholars, especially when this university is really globalized and is making everything as global. Susan Carvalho, who is in charge of international affairs, told me, no worries, Amuri. Be sure you will defend your dissertation from here. No, for me, it was just as a joke. I told my kids, they couldn't believe. Now this is done. With this strong university, the powerful institution, my home university was ready to accept. They couldn't believe, but they accepted. And when I defended, they were surprised. That was the first time for my home university to make this great experience of a video conference, someone who could defend his dissertation by Skype, and having people involved in my jury, my committee from three different countries, three different continents. Two persons, professors who were in France, two from UK, one political scientist and one anthropologist. You know, Geoffrey Wallace, he studied for a part of his education. He was in Canada. And he could help because he was able to speak in French. And Ilayan, who is anthropologist, is from Morocco. He was ready to get involved. So this was done, and people were surprised to have me as really a doctor from the University of Kentucky. I didn't know Kentucky, but that was really the destiny, and we were not able to know where we were going. Now we are really convinced that Kentucky was my best choice. I am really indebted toward Kentucky, and I would like to work for the University of Kentucky. Yes. As long as I will be allowed to stay here, my priority to serve the University of Kentucky. So to serve students, to be working in collaboration with other faculty and staff, just how to get involved in this great community.
Let me ask you about your dissertation and your research. Share with our listeners what kind of research you do and why.
My research from Congo?
Yes.
Yes, I was interested in specific issues of political problems, political matters linked to political context in Congo. I did my BA, it was not on political science, but it was on management. I was very interested in public administration. I did my BA on comparative management, but you know, during the war, the person who could be as my mentor, he moved to Canada, and I decided to change. But staying in Congo with those problems of war became as a new opportunity to be studying political science. In political science, according to our system, everything is very large. We have political science and administration. I studied the militias in Congo, in eastern Congo, just because we were in war, and in eastern Congo, we were really on the field, seeing those who were as actors, the rebels, the militiamen, those groups who were fighting each other. And we could see how the process of peaceful, just as peace building, was implemented in Congo. But for my research, I was able to demonstrate how in Congo the issue of violence could be understood basically when we check in our political system. It's about the state. But talking about state, talking about government, in the context of Congo, was seen as a kind of subversion. This was not as a good research to demonstrate how the state was involved, how the state was as responsible of trouble in the country, how the young men could join rebels or rebel groups or militia because we didn't have a good policy, we didn't have a specific policy about the social, the economic. This was really as challenging, very critical, you know. Yes. I wrote many papers. I contributed to collective books with the results of my research, but this was not seen as a positive by the ruling class. I am talking about the intelligence service in Congo. When I could present in Addis Ababa, for example, in Ethiopia, when I was recruited as consultant by the United Nations. I went in Addis Ababa and presented a study on the involvement of the African youth in armed conflicts. So I emphasized how the government, the state, was really as the main actor, even if those rulers were not aware of this problem, but it's true. And in the case, specific case of Congo, we know how the militias were initiated by the government. And there we could find young men as soldiers, as combatants. The government was not able to defeat the rebels, and the local communities were organized for self-defense. With this, we could see why people accepted to go to war and how people could refer to more religion. This was the good component of my research. they referred more to religion to justify the actions, to justify everything they were doing. More religion, and more religion means more poverty, more challenges in anthropological perspective. There we have more religion, we have more problems. In Western societies, people are not as really interested in more religion. Even if they are as a Christian, they are as a, I don't know, this depends on each other, that people can consider as a good for them as religion. But more religion in the Congo is explained, can be explained and understood according to the extent of crisis. Those groups are as fighters, they are not as members of national army, but they are involved in this kind of political violence. What they need, when we don't have democracy, when we don't have good participation, so people can refer to violence, just as in symbolic terms, as the best way to be understood, how to present the claims. They don't know about the conventional procedures as petition, memorandum, but from violence they could be asked, why do you fight? Why do you go to war? Why are you involved in violence? And then they could present their problems. It's about political participation in Congo. From this, I didn't get more stability or security, because I demonstrated how it was about crisis, it was about social and economic policies in Congo. There we have wars in Congo, in eastern Congo. There we have concentration of mineral resources, the minerals in Congo. But there we have more poverty in Congo. In eastern Congo, more poverty. But the eastern Congo is rich. It's a paradox. We don't have good roads, good schools. And there people are really challenged by rebels, by those armed groups. To demonstrate these kind of issues, it's a kind of a conflict with the ruling class.
And your research obviously didn't make you very popular where you were. And so in 2010, if I hear you correctly, you came to the University of Kentucky?
Yes, I left for the U.S. and I came to the University of Kentucky because for my dissertation, for my PhD, how I could continue with the same topic to discuss and write about these kind of problems. For my master's, I wrote a work relating to the same issue. But with my dissertation, I could continue talking more about details linked to the regime, linked to those who are as main actors. And you know, I was not only attacked by the seen as a my research was as a provocative, not only toward the government. It was the same during the war with the rebels, who could say, no, this guy is riding on the militias. This means is someone who would like to make those militias or militiamen as popular. But I wrote against those militias, and the actors could consider me as someone who is trying to present them as perpetrators of violence. After the war, I could be seen by the government as someone who is demonstrating why the war could be seen as something legitimate. Because I wrote, as we could see in this book, I have one title, very critical. I said, talking about violence, I said, it's possible to discover something as rational within violence. The rationality of disorder.
The rationality of disorder.
Rationality of disorder. Mm-hmm. Yes. How violence can be seen as rational among people who are facing the lack of democracy. Just these can help them to be understood, because they will be associated to the a kind of, this could contributed to the building of a kind of public sphere. Now we can discuss with those violent actors and ask them what they need.
Talk about the program that brought you to the University of Kentucky.
Yes. For coming to the University of Kentucky, this was the, you know, I got a fellowship, a grant from Rescue. You know that they call it SRF Scholar Rescue Fund. It's a specific group within Institute of International Education based in New York, which provide more support to scholars who are threatened, who are facing more trouble in their own countries to continue their research. And this was my one or only opportunity to come here. I came in 2007 because I was selected among 135 African scholars, just two people. Two scholars came in 2007 in Massachusetts to the African Scholars Program. But this second travel, this second trip, was based on the grant provided by Scholar Rescue Fund. But they were looking for the host institution. And I was looking too, but I was not able to find a good institution. And the University of Kentucky will be the first institution ready to say, no, we can help and we need that guy, that scholar can come here. We have our Department of Anthropology, which is very interested in this kind of research. Someone who is a scholar, who is a political scientist, but working on anthropological issues, so this is something is very interesting for us. So I received a letter of invitation, official letter from University of Kentucky, signed by the chair of Department of Anthropology, Christopher Poole. So this was for me the best opportunity to get involved. And I came. I didn't know if I could meet, I could find a Department of Political Science at the University of Kentucky. And I stayed in my department, I think, for three or four months. I didn't know if at Kentucky we had a political science. And I began my teachings. But first, I was attending my ESL class. Everyone within my department was really interested to see me, and I was really accepted. Within the college, since I met with the dean, that was my deep hope to continue here. Kind man, good man, good person who was providing only advices and saying, no, you will speak English here, you will learn, you will do your research, and you will teach here. So this made me really confident, and all people I met have contributed to my success, because I don't know someone who could be seen as an obstacle. I got more support from the faculty, from staff. And today, I am ready to say this victory is not from me. It's from the University of Kentucky and for the University of Kentucky. As indebted to this university, I think I don't have two choices. On Sunday, I will get officially my PhD, officially, so this will be consecrated. I defended, but on Sunday, this will be the good moment, not only for myself, but also for my family, my kids, to see how their father is recognized as doctor and how I am accepted. Symbolically speaking, for my wife, my kids, and for myself, that ceremony means to be accepted. Basically, to be accepted, and because this will not be as possible for someone from Congo, because you know my home university was recognized as 33rd university in 60s, 70s, ranked as 33rd university in Africa. But now, no one in Congo as university is recognized among 100 best universities. This means I am accepted by myself. I am accepted because I was able to provide that I had as knowledge, that I had as background. American University can accept someone I know and I believe only if he is able to do something as good. It's a global university, and we don't need someone who could just contribute in making the university as engaged in expenses, no. But if you can provide that you have as contribution to the education, it's something as acceptable. So I am very, very excited to be accepted. To be accepted in an American university, while my home university or my country or my government was not able to provide those opportunities, good conditions of work, I would be just riding. I would be riding, but I have been able to finish my dissertation just for one year. 1 year, everything ready, because now I don't have reason. I couldn't have argument to say no. I am not riding because I am no. And my chief, the head of department, was asking every time when we met, what about your research? What about your research? So, in these good conditions, there are people, those who are as men scholars within your department, who are asking you every time, every day. So this was not as bad for me. I was excited to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished. In short term, I finished.
And I imagine since the ceremony will be streamed on the website, people from all over the world can see you walk the aisle on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And that's got to be quite a feeling as you're achieving your dream, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after Sunday for you?
Good question, but really complex. But for me, I think my joy of working within UK is continuing because, you know, we are talking here. I have my postdoc for UK again. So I will continue. I will continue working as instructor within UK.
So you'll keep teaching classes here at the University of Kentucky?
Yes, I will teach one more year for postdoc. Yes, in fall and next spring, I will be teaching. I will be thinking of after postdoc.
Like ask you in about a year, in other
yes.
words.
Yes.
ask me that question in about a year.
After postdoc, I think everything is done according to the availability of those who are as my bosses in UK, because from there I can get some letters of recommendation to apply for jobs. I think this will be, it's a guarantee from UK letters of recommendation, because that they have done is very heavy. If you have done that, they those letters of recommendation. Yes, so I believe in future, I think I can apply for jobs anywhere. But first, if I checking the website of UK, I can see some jobs. I will apply first for UK.
You love the university that much that you
yes, because it's my first university, which is at the origin of my achievement, my main achievement, the legacy, all my diploma, everything. So I don't have two references. This will be, I will change just on when the University of Kentucky is not able or just is not ready to accept me as a faculty. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's not as a, they don't refuse, but it's about budget, for basically, as in many universities today. So I can change, but it's not my will. It's not my wish to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and this background I am just accumulating from here. I would like to have this continuing for UK instead of doing that I have learned here to other universities.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because I don't know as indebted to UK how I will be paying. It's just as a metaphor to show you, to emphasize how I am ready, I am really concerned with this. How, what will be my counterpart to UK? Mentally or psychologically, I'd like to continue working within UK. This means for me, I am paying because I studied education at high school. For those who are as teachers, only when we are able as a pupil or student to continue doing the same, so we are paying. I would like to pay my counterpart at UK by teaching, working within UK only, because if I become as a professor of another university, this means I have stopped to pay. I can, perhaps I will be paying as a member of UK alumni PhD. So,
yeah, well,
the diploma is from Congo, but mentally I am aware as really as a member of a UK community.
Hmm.
Yes.
What kind of emotions are going through your head now as you're getting ready to walk that aisle and receive your PhD? Just sum it up and how you feel going into this weekend.
Since the process was planned, I was just celebrating. As I told you, in short words, I am convinced that this university has accepted me. Not only they accepted to promote my scholarship or my education, providing this opportunity to get my PhD, but basically when they accept to do something which would be done by my home university. So it's I am not able to make an assessment of this, because my home university was not able to say the day I defended, no, now everything is done, okay. But they said I had to wait for and go back for graduate ceremony. They know why they were asking me to return there, because they know what I had as problem. But from UK, people could be able to understand this. Just like myself, and find good solution. So how to pay?
Our guest has been Fratinelle Amuri-Misako. Thank you very much for stopping by, and obviously continued success and the best of luck to you this weekend.
Thank you very much. Thanks to everybody of UK for this success. It's UK's victory. Thank you very much.